Scripture reading for our attention this morning is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, the first chapter, verses 15 through 19. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray now that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Back in 2007, there was a 92-year-old Christian woman who came out of a large grocery store, went out into the parking lot and to get in her car. This was in a town in Tennessee. And as she got into her car, suddenly an intruder, a young man, jumped into the passenger seat of her car next to her and pulled a gun on her, 92-year-old woman, and put the gun in her face and said, "Give me all of your money or I'll kill you." And she said, "No." And he said, "I'm going to say it again. Give me all of your money or I'm going to shoot you." She said, "No." Third time, he asked, and she said, "No." And she finally said to him, "I'm 92 years old. I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus. And I know that if you kill me today, I get to go to heaven. But I want to let you know that if you kill me today, if you're not sorry for this, you're going to go to hell." And her intruder started to break down, started to tear up. And she started talking to him about her faith in Christ and witnessed to him for about 10 minutes in her car while he sat there. He put the gun down, and she witnessed him to him for about 10 minutes. And finally he said to her, "I think I'm going to go home and pray." Before he left the car, she opened her purse and gave him all of her money that she had on her. That's some pretty powerful love. That's some pretty serious love. Where in the world does that come from? Where does that kind of love come from that can have that kind of power? The ancient historian in the Christian church named Eusebius, back in about the 400s, wrote about how one of the characteristics of early Christians that started to change the hearts of pagans around them to be interested in the Christian faith was this very thing: how much Christians could demonstrate love, and in particular their love for each other, for one another, supporting one another through a lot of times great times of persecution and things. And sometimes when we're in a great minority, it makes people want to hold on to and support one another all the more. Some of the foreign missionaries that come back from countries where maybe Christianity is not as accepted, we'll talk about how the missionaries' families together just loved each other so much and supported each other so much because they knew they were kind of in, from the devil's perspective, enemy territory. And so there's a bond that happens, and Paul is noticing that in the text in front of us today as well. There's a love that he has for these Christians, and their love for other Christians in the world, he says, has drawn the attention of other Christians. And this is this unique love around the cross of Christ and around what Christ has come to do for us. There's kind of a magnetic power to this love that God puts in our hearts for Christ. And you can kind of see it even when we hear different Bible stories, okay? Here's an example, okay? Think to yourself as I give you a few of these, which one of the individuals in these stories draws your attention and your affection? Okay? In the parable of the tax collector and the Pharisee, which one draws your affection? In the story of the woman who is wiping Jesus' feet with her hair and crying in the middle of all the table guests. So who's the one in that story that draws your love? In the story of the two thieves on the cross, which one draws your love and your attention? The love that God creates in our hearts through the gospel also creates a magnetic love, not just to Christ, which is the most important, of course, but also for others who love Christ, for others who hold on to him and cherish him and treasure him. When, in the Old Testament, when Rebekah first met Isaac, we're told that she jumped off of her camel, she dismounted and dropped down and bowed at his feet. She was so appreciative to see a fellow believer. Believers who have come to know God's grace, that he has, by his death on the cross, forgiven us all of our sins, and because of that, we have the hope of heaven. Believers who've come to understand and know that not only cherish the cross, but are automatically drawn to those who are also under that cross in that shadow of grace as well. So where does this strong bond come from? It's not something that's naturally in us, okay? And human beings have shown that they can be very unloving. But where does this kind of intense, deep love come from? St. Paul answers. He says, God gives the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. That's a very interesting expression, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Some translations say it this way, that God may enlighten the eyes of your heart. That God may enlighten the eyes of your heart. That's an interesting expression. It's your heart, your soul, the deepest part of you, the most inner part of you as a human being. It's as if Paul is describing that like a person that has eyes that was once blind and has now been given the ability to see and to recognize God's love and grace in Christ, okay? And notice something here. In all of Paul's words, and this is true throughout the Bible, whenever this happens, whenever someone comes to faith and now believes in Christ, God always claims full credit for that. May not feel like it inside of you. May feel like you did it. But God is the one that says, I get full credit for that happening. Do not rob the Holy Spirit of his work by claiming you gave your life to Jesus or that you somehow turned your heart over to Jesus. That's not the way the Bible ever talks about coming to faith, ever, ever. But it's a very common expression. We hear it a lot in our culture, don't we? Oh, I gave my life to Jesus. That's not biblical. God always claims full 100% credit for giving us the eyes of faith to now recognize Christ and his grace, coming to faith so that we can go to heaven someday. The fact that you are a believer, St. Paul says, it does not depend on man's desire or effort, but on God's mercy. In fact, if you were to read ahead in the next chapter, he goes on to say, you and I were dead in our trespasses and sins, but God made us alive in Christ. He is the one that gives us this spiritual life. So St. Paul's prayer here for the Ephesians and for us is that we stay focused, because of Christ, that we stay focused on the future home in heaven that we have. Listen to what he says. That you may know what is the hope of his calling, that's heaven, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. So he wants you to someday be able to actually enjoy what our faith is all about right now. And he knows that Christians, we're no different than the Ephesians, that we can lose our focus on heaven. Paul Kretzmann has a great comment on this. I love how he says this. We can too easily become distracted by the fool's gold of this world. That's interesting, the fool's gold of this world. Therefore, it is necessary to be trained to think of the inheritance of the saints in light. So Paul is expressing his gratitude for them as being fellow believers in Christ. This is a standard comment in so many of Paul's letters. You can find a phrase like this, that he's thankful to God for all of these believers. You can find this in 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, 1 Corinthians, Romans, Colossians, Philippians, and Philemon. Paul always sticks this in almost all of his letters, that he's so grateful to God for this. Now, I want to talk to the college students who are here today for just a moment. To those of you who have been given this gift of faith and love Christ, I want you to know how thankful we are for you. Do you have any idea what a blessing you are to your professors and to the staff people that work with you? To see this same precious trust in Christ alive in your hearts, to see the fruits of faith that come out of you on this campus in a variety of different ways. And when we see and hear your heavenly mindedness, that is so wonderful and strengthening for all of us as well. So, along with St. Paul, we likewise can say we do not cease to give thanks for you as members of that wonderful church that will someday be with us in heaven. Amen. Please rise. And we pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you that by the work of your Holy Spirit, you have caused faith to grow in the hearts of those who are in this sanctuary. We thank and praise you for bringing us to the knowledge of Christ as our Savior and giving us that wonderful hope in our future. Please continue to work that faith inside of all of us and bind us together in the love of Christ toward each other and toward you and the things of your kingdom. We pray this all in the name of him who has also taught us to pray, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Depart in his peace. Amen.